I want you to just look at something in the Bible that God blessed my heart with and see some observations that we have from God's Word in Matthew chapter 3 and also in Matthew chapter 4. But I want you to see some observations in the life of Jesus after he's introduced. The Bible says that John the Baptist came and he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance," in verse 11 of chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. He said, "There cometh one after me is mightier than I." He said, "There is coming one greater. There's coming one mightier. There's coming one that you have not met. I want to introduce you to someone." He said, "I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now he's talking about someone says he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather the wheat, but he will also burn. We present Jesus Christ not as a great lover and going to condone sin. That's not what he came for. He came to condemn sin. He came to make it where we could be enjoy life and have life. And we don't have to worry about what to tell people. We've got what God says to tell people. We've got the remedy. We've got something that God can use. And so they said, "What would he say if he talked to this person?" I will tell you what he said, what he will say, because he's already said it. He said, "You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Repent or perish." He would say, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." You must be born again. And so I'm saying here today that when we have a message, we don't have to deviate. I believe the problem we get in dealing with people is we give our opinions more than we give God's Word. I'm guilty of that, and you are too. Like that, I think this is what you should do. And Tommy says, "This is what we need to do." And I know that when you see things that are according to God's Word, we can rest assured that it will work. It works every time. But the Bible said repent. And the Bible said he will burn with unquenchable fire. That means the fire will never come out, be put out. But, hallelujah, look at the next verse. Verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus." Amen. After all is said and done, hallelujah, Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. I'm glad John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He's finally here. He has arrived. Glory to God. I was working over there the last part of the 60s. I said, "What in the world's happening?" I saw the policemen and all of the people over there on the railroad trestle crossing Gervais Street, all of these things that were happening, the railroad track. They said, "Somebody important is coming." I said, "Who is it?" They said, "Richard Nixon." But praise God, I'm glad. They said, "Here he has arrived." And glory to God, I look around, and guess who's there? Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. I'm glad John has introduced him. And then the Bible said, "Then came Jesus." I'm glad if you've been waiting for someone, I'm waiting for him to show up. I'm waiting for him to be in the church. I'm waiting for him to be in your heart. I'm waiting for him to be in your life. And I want to see him when you step out. I say, glory to God, there's somebody representing Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's somebody telling the world that there is a difference in Christianity and religion. There's someone telling me that there's one greater than John the Baptist. There's one greater, hallelujah, than all of the people put together. The Nebuchadnezzar, the and the Herods and the Pharaohs. I'm glad his name is Jesus, and I'm glad I can introduce you to him. And someone said the other day that I'm disappointed in my preacher. I said, "Have you tried Jesus?" They said, "I'm disappointed in my wife. Have you tried Jesus? I'm disappointed in my children. Have you tried Jesus?" I'm glad, glory to God, he never disappoints. I'm glad he's always faithful. I'm glad he's always there. I'm glad he's never done anything wrong, never said anything wrong, never gone any place he didn't need to go. And John the Baptist, he said, "I'm just going to tell you that there is one greater than I." John said, "I'm not even worthy. I'm not worthy." But he said, "There's one greater than me. I'm glad there's one coming that I want to introduce you to. And I'm glad to talk about the great preachers. There'd be nothing without Jesus Christ." So I want you to observe. And I want to ask you something. Have you had a rough day? Have you had a rough life? Have you had a rough storm? Have you had something bad? Have you had something good? Have you had something you didn't understand? Have you had something that you did not comprehend and that you wish you could get rid of? And some things you wish you could have that you don't have and wish you could get rid of what you do have and replace it with something different. But glory to God, I'm glad Jesus Christ knows what He's doing. And I said, Jesus, I want to travel with You a little while now, and I want to see what You did, and I want to see what You're facing, and maybe I won't be complaining and griping and grumbling about everything that happens in my life. Glory to God, I'm glad He makes the sun to rise on the good people. He makes it rain on the just and on the unjust. He sends the lily, and I'm glad, glory to God, He feeds the birds and all these things, and I'm glad we can look at what God has done and say, thank God we have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He's a faithful one. He loves me, and I'm glad He loves you, and I'm glad, glory to God, we can demonstrate His love, as Tommy has given here from the Word of God. And the only reason Tommy is teaching a great lesson is because it's the Word of God based on God's Word. And I'm glad if it's not God's Word, I say if it's not God's Word, junk it. Get something that is God's Word. And so I want you to notice some observations. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And when Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. The Bible said it speaks of righteousness, and it doesn't speak of taking away sin. Praise God, I'm glad it said it came to be baptized of John. And John said, you need to baptize me. The Bible said, then cometh Jesus to be baptized. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so, or permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or permitted him. And Jesus, hallelujah, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I'll tell you something. This is in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, to let us make man in our image. But the Bible says Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened, he saw the Spirit, that's Jesus, that's the Spirit of God, and there is a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Number one, I want you to notice the Trinity is we're observing the Trinity here in the book of Matthew chapter 3. Number one, the Bible says Jesus was baptized. The Spirit descended. The Father spoke. I'm glad we look at Jesus. We find He sets an example for us. And I'm glad the Spirit of God is necessary for a person to be convicted of sin. I believe a lot of folk made a profession without a possession because the Spirit of God was not working. Now, occasionally, in dealing with people and praying, you will find people can pray it simple and say a prayer and seem like there's nothing to it. I noticed people have been a few times when it seems that God was really working in a person's heart. And I sometimes wonder about the people that say they prayed a prayer and nothing changes in their life. The Spirit is necessary for conviction. And a lot of times people try to avoid God's requirement, and the Spirit of God cannot work. Why does God bless you? It's because something about you, it corresponds with the Spirit of God working above you and around you. God is able to work. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Spirit, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. But what do people do? The Spirit of God begins to work, and people begin to get angry at God. You let God take care of that. You let God tell people whether to say amen or glory or sing hallelujah, amen. Now I'm glad, hallelujah, we can see that the Holy Ghost will work. And so I look at people and see them rejoicing. That's the Spirit. It better be the Spirit. And I know it's a bad, it can be a bad spirit. You can look at some people and tell, you shouldn't have said that. You can say some things in church, you say, I shouldn't have said that. You can look at something, well, you did, you know, I wish I hadn't have done that. I'm even thinking about things way, way back yonder that I know I grieve the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that you can grieve Him by what you do. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit, whereby you're sealed. But I say this, that too many people are trying to quench the Spirit and push the Spirit aside and push the Word of God to the out of banks and say, I'll do it my way, I'll do it my way. We splash around and we'll run. But the woman came and she said, I need to come talk to you. Well, Mary Lee was at the house too and said, I need to come talk to you. And she said, when can I come? I said, well, I'll set a day. She said, I'll be fine. And you know what? I always thought about this. If a person wants to get saved today, and you tell them to come back tomorrow, and maybe something could happen, they couldn't come back. But she set it up. She said, she told me when she'd be at the house. And she walked in the house, and she was squalling and crying and saying, I need to get saved, and I want to get right with God. Knelt there at the kitchen table and said, oh, dear God, I want you to save me. But you don't see that very often. Most of the time is, okay, what do I need to do? Prayer? Okay, I'll say the prayer. I'll say the word. I'm saying the prayer. But what I am saying, we should not minimize the working of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the Holy Ghost descended from heaven. Hallelujah. Where he came from. Now, someone says that the dove is a symbol of peace and tranquility. There's a Trinity. Recognize it. And I'll say something else. We honor Jesus Christ. We say, what? Well, about Buddha? No. Confucius? Yes, it's about Confucius. Because the people's lives are confused. But I'm saying we're not worshiping Confucius. We're not worshiping the false prophets. We're not worshiping Mary Baker Eddy. We're not worshiping the people that said, and somebody said, you sure going to be surprised when you get to heaven and find out more of so-and-so denomination there than Baptist. I'm not surprised at anybody that gets to heaven. I'm glad, glory to God, for anyone that goes. But I'm saying I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist, and a person not going to hell because they're of another denomination. They're going to heaven or hell based upon what they do with Jesus Christ. So we see the Holy Ghost, we see Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. I don't want Jesus. And you know what? When I preached the funeral a few years ago up there in Spartanburg, and they had a crowd of people that got mad because I said Jesus is the only way to heaven. And they said, you said it. I said, no, God said it. I'm saying here today, it's God's word. And the man said, well, I'll tell you one thing, we've got another way. I said, well, when you make a heaven, you can describe it, you can make the requirements any way you want. If you can make a heaven, and if you can create an earth like we have, if you can do that, I said, then you can put the requirements for people to enter therein. Jesus Christ is the word of God. He's the written word. He's the living word. Well, we have the written word, and he's the living word. And so we notice, number one, the Trinity. I want you to notice, number two, in these verses, we see the testing. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve was tested, and she failed. We look in the life of David. He was tested, and he failed. We look in the life of Abraham. He was tested, and he failed. We look in the life of Moses. He was tested, and sometimes he failed. You look at every person in the Word of God, but you find a few people that are representative of Christ that they did not fail. We don't find anything, as far as I can tell, that was bad about Joseph. And we find a few people, but very few people do you find that you cannot find anything that God condemned them for. But we do find every person they fail. But glory to God, I'm glad there is one. Let me present to you Jesus Christ. There's a testing. And have you been tested lately? Have you been put to the test? God's trying to test some people, and they keep failing. And they keep saying, I ain't going to take that. I'm not going to suffer. I'm not going to be persecuted. Look at this. You look at people today. People are being tested by their health. They're being tested by their wealth. They're being tested by their morals. They're tested every way you can imagine. They're tested by youth. They're tested in their old age. They're tested in church. They're tested on the job. They're tested everywhere. Are you failing or are you going to succeed? The Bible says here, Eve was tested to fail. Jesus was tested. Guess what happened there? Jesus was tested. He knew how to handle a bad situation. He did not conjure up something new. He just said, what did he say? Let me ask you something. Before I tell you, if you don't know, I'll tell you. What did he say? When the devil came to Jesus and he said, I want you to do this, what did Jesus say? Well, I'll tell you right now, I got more power than you got. You ain't messing with me, buddy. I want to tell you, I can do it. No, he says, already written. Ain't going to change a thing. Glory to God. I'm glad the Bible's already true. I'm glad it's already. Glory to God. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Just stand on the word. Lewis, go to the prison. He said, this is my opinion. I won't tell you fellas one thing, and this is what you better do. Glory to God. If he's going to do that, he's going to have an argument. But praise God, I'm glad you say the Bible said it. And if you don't like it, hallelujah, meet me outside. Amen. Dr. Howe said, my fellow didn't like what he said. He said, time. And then Dr. Howe said, what you want? He said, you said you talked enough. Dr. Howe said, I want you to meet me outside. Go out to that building. He said, if I'm not there in 5 minutes, go ahead without me. I want to tell you something. It's settled. Glory to God. It's settled in heaven. Jesus said, it is written. The Bible says Jesus was led up of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, he said the word, it is written. The Bible says that he was tested. And Jesus was tested. The word is given. And he just said, it's written. Don't try to figure out some new way. Well, you can think of some things that might correspond with the word. For instance, somebody went to a man and they said, why come you're not saved? He said, well, I'm trying to figure out what it will cost me if I get saved. I got me a piece of paper and I have me something to write down and I want to figure out what it's going to cost me to get saved. And the man said, well, I can give you something better than that. Now, this is not exactly the word of God, but it worked. He said, I want you to figure out what it will cost not to get saved. He said, the cost not to get saved is going to be a lot greater than it costs to get saved. You think about the rich young ruler. The Bible said he came to Jesus and he said, I want eternal life. And he said, what can I do? And Jesus said, told him what to do. He said, I've done that. Done it. I've done that too. I've done that. He said, okay, sell what you have, give to the poor. He said, come follow me. The Bible said he went away sorrowful. He had great possession. He said, I can't give it up. After all these years in hell, I wonder if you could talk to that young ruler and you could ask him, sir, I'd like to ask you a question. If you would have given everything, would it be worth it? Would it have been a good deal? Somebody said, you mean Jesus wanted to give it all up? I don't know whether he wanted to give it all up, but he had to be willing to give it up. And when you put up something like that, you're going to challenge God, and I know who's going to win. If cigarettes become more important, or liquor becomes more important, or Pepsi-Cola becomes more important, or anything becomes more important than Jesus Christ, you're on losing ground. And so the Bible says here, Jesus said, it is written. And then I want you to notice, and this will be later on, in the chapter 4, verse 11. And this is kind of lead into what I want to preach later. Then the devil leaveth him, and the whole angel came and ministered unto him. So we find, number one, the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity. Number two, we see the test in chapter 3. And praise God, we'll look at some of the test in a little later. It's after 12 o'clock.